Who wants a bunk bed, Bill? There's never been a better time to sign up for a yearly EPP, Extra Podcast Person membership to Real Ghost Stories Online. Right now, when you become a yearly EPP, you'll get 1 month free membership to our EPP programs. You'll also be able to claim your very own Bunk Bed Bell. Plus, you'll be doing your part to help keep our show on the air.
It's amazing. It's all amazing. We feel so much better.
A show that helps thousands of people worldwide.
Thanks again for providing this outlet and making it so non-threatening.
Feel not so alone with their haunting experiences.
You guys are amazing. We listen to you all the time.
Become a yearly EPP now. Get a free month of our EPP membership and get your very own Bunk Bed Bell.
Hurry though, supplies are limited.
If you're currently a monthly EPP, then upgrade your membership now to a yearly membership and get your Bunk Bed Bell and a free month of EPP membership to Real Ghost Stories Online.
I think it's important for people to be able to have a place where they can share their experiences and validate them because these things are real.
Sign up now to be a yearly EPP at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number 855-853-4802. You can also write it on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com or send me your audio file if you want to record it on your smart device and then send it in to us. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. So lots of ways to get those stories to us. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
How many popcorn kernels do you have stuck in your teeth?
A few.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I think I had one that was stuck like since last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I just got rid of it today, and then we had some popcorn right before the show, and now it's like, oh, great. They need to invent, you know, like they have all like the toothbrushes that do 42 different things and the supersonic technology. They just need one that says, we'll get the corn kernels out.
Yeah.
That is the one I would buy.
That would be good.
I don't care what it does or how it spins or brushes. Just if that's what it can do, that would be like the big selling point.
Mm-hmm.
I really would enjoy that. We got a popcorn popper. I got one for what was the holiday? Was it Father's Day? Yes, Father's Day. There's been so many things in this
Father's Day, our anniversary, my birthday.
Yeah,
we're all in the last 10 days.
Yes. So I'm sorry I get confused as to what the holiday was. Yes, for Father's Day, and we got it set up just before, so we had to pop some popcorn in it once you get it set up. And it's amazing how different it tastes out of the machine,
yeah,
you know, versus just the microwave.
It's the old time looking machine.
Yeah, and it pops it really well. And I mean, you put all the stuff in there.
Mm-hmm.
It comes with the packets of, it's almost like a push pop of butter and oil.
Yeah, it is.
And you kind of go, oh, that's why it tastes so good.
Yeah. That's what's going through my arteries.
Yes, exactly. So a little bit later on, I'll be slowing down a little bit as it all hardens. But there you go. It made me think about popcorn flavors and strange popcorn flavors. And I started looking up online odd popcorn flavors, you know, like the powders and mm-hmm. stuff you put on. How about this mackerel?
Yeah.
Get a little extra mackerel.
I don't know why somebody would try that.
Well, it doesn't exist. I just made that up.
Oh, that's not funny.
But I could totally see, you know, have a variety of fish salmon popcorn.
No.
Wouldn't go for that. But the craziest, it's not really crazy. It's fairly normal. Buffalo wing. That sounds, you know, it's not. There's buffalo flavored this and that out there now. So
yeah.
Not too odd. I was really hoping to find something like a mackerel, but no such luck.
Yeah.
855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. I bet you could make one, though, because I know when we've gone shopping at some of the like the grocery stores, like the Asian grocery stores and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously a lot of interesting products there if that's not where you normally shop. And there is, I've seen like a fish powder type thing.
Uh-huh.
So I suppose if you really pureed that down to like just, you know, popcorn powder, you could totally get a
That's gross.
A mackerel.
I don't think I'd enjoy that.
I don't think it's mackerel itself, but it's some sort of fish. Anyway, 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your stories with us. Let's go to our first caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Rochelle from Iowa. I called a second ago, but I think it cut me off real quick, so I'm going to try and get to my story real quick. But I have a recent scary story to tell. I am sensitive, but I haven't, felt anything in a while. And, me and my husband decided to go camping in the southeast part of Oklahoma where he's from. He decided to go camping that weekend, so we got two of his buddies that he went to high school with, and we decided just to make a little camping trip. He wanted to go somewhere where he used to go to, and him and his buddies when they were younger. And this, they're going to where, you know, no one's ever camped before. Like, they made their own little trail at the time. So he decided to head out that way. I think it's like an hour away from Mena, Arkansas. So, you know, I was kind of skeptical about it because it's a place where, you know, no one's camped before and no one's been out there. So I was kind of worried, but I went ahead and did it anyway. So we went out there and it's a beautiful day. And, we had to make a little trail, and there was like a little flat spot where we could put our tent. And the tent we had was like a 3-bedroom kind of tent, so all of us would be in the tent together. And, you know, we're out there, and it's quiet, and it's beautiful, and we're by a river. And I had a feeling, but I had a feeling that, like, something wasn't quite right, but I brushed it off, you know, because it was really, really pretty out there. But I was like, this is too good to be true. So anyways, we go swimming in the river, or it's not really like a running river, but it's kind of like a slow running river, and we're swimming out there, and we notice that someone starts throwing like rocks at us, because you hear like rocks falling into the water, and a couple of them hit some of my husband's friends, and then one of them hit my husband's back of his head, and we're like, who's throwing rocks? And all of us were in the water, and there we had like no idea on like who it could be or what it was or what the heck was going on. It wasn't raining rocks, we don't think. So we had no idea. That was really weird. Like something like was trying to like throw rocks at us. Like I felt like to get us out, you know, to leave. But we stayed out there. We were, we swam for a bit. It stopped after a while. We swam for a bit and then, you know, starts getting dark and then we start building a fire and whatnot. And we're all sitting by the fire eating dinner, and I still get this feeling like something's wrong. And my husband knows I'm a sensitive, so I like let him know. I'm like, hey, you know, I have a feeling like, you know, something's not right. Like, I feel like we should not be here. And then he was like, you know, okay, it's okay. You know, if it gets worse, we'll just leave. But as for now, you know, just hang out and enjoy it. So I was like, okay. So, you know, we get in our tent, in our rooms, and it's really late. And we didn't really have service out there, which is, that should be a red flag. And, I look at the time, and it's not 3, but it's around, like, 1:30-ish. And it's really quiet. Like, I don't hear bugs at all, really. And everyone else is asleep. And I hear, like, some type of whispering outside. Like very faint whispering. And I can't make it out what it is. So I kind of like get up as slow as I can to make sure none of the guys woke up and they're like talking to somebody like on their phones if they could outside or talking to each other outside. I look and all the guys are asleep. And I'm kind of like, okay. And I hear the whispering and it doesn't stop because I'm moving around and I'm sure if somebody was out there they could hear me walking around. But they kept whispering. You know, I didn't want to be the one to go out there and go find out what it was. So I went and laid back down and just, I couldn't go back to sleep. I stayed awake. So then the next day, you know, everything's fine. We're actually walking a little bit from camp. I think there was like if you walk up the river, there was like a cool little bank that you can cross over. And we were going to take some pictures and stuff. And then my husband's friends were in front. He was behind them and I was like right behind because I was taking pictures. And then I hear like the rocks, like, you know, we hear us walking, but I hear someone walking behind me and I stop and then the walking stops and I turn around and I get this feeling, like a negative feeling. So So I turned back around and I'm like, hey, I feel something behind me, to my husband. And he's, you know, he's looking back there and he doesn't see anything. So he's like, why don't you just walk in front of me and I'll walk behind you. So I'm like, okay, good idea. So we walk forward and something pushed him to where I heard him kind of trip and I turned around. I'm like, are you okay? Cause I thought he like tripped over a rock and he's like, no, something pushed me. And then I was like, well, what do you mean something pushed you? And he was like, I felt like a bit of pressure on my lower back. And I'm like, okay, so something clearly does not want us here. You know, there's a reason why no one goes camping out here. It's super private. No one thinks no one's ever been out here just to hang out. So we let his buddies know what's going on. And, you know, they're kind of freaked out over that rock incident in the water. Something was trying to get us out. So we go back in. He told me, okay, we're going to leave tomorrow. I was like, okay, great. So I start packing up stuff ready to go for tomorrow. And, you know, the sun's setting. We had our dinner. Everything was fine. Nothing happened. And then we're in bed. And then I'm like awake because I'm like, okay, I don't want to be woken up by something that scares me. So I was just, you know, trying to stay awake. And then I keep hearing somebody whispering. And then I'm kind of like, okay. And it's the same spot. It's like right outside our tent. I feel like it's a couple feet away, but not that like too far, but to where I could hear it, but I couldn't hear what they were saying. So I get up and I walk by like the entrance of our tent, which is zipped up, and I put my ear by it and then it stops. And then all of a sudden I hear something run so fast and I could hear like the twigs cracking and stuff. And it didn't sound like four feet, an animal. It sounded like a person and it runs. And then that's when I was just like, you know, this is it. So I woke everybody up. I was like, we got to go because I just heard somebody was near our tent and it just ran when they heard me wake up. So we literally got up, packed all of our stuff and left. And I do not want to go back there because the energy, the feeling that I got was so bad. I don't know if we were like in some private area, like some burial grounds or whatnot, but it was really pretty, but it felt like too good to be true, which it was. But anyways, I thought I would share my story with that camping trip. Like I said, it's like an hour away from Mena. I couldn't really tell you the place because, you know, we kind of like built our way in there, but it's a little path down there that we made now, so I mean, hopefully nobody goes out there because it's kind of scary. But anyways, I thought I'd share, and I'm a proud EPP member, and I love the work you guys are still doing, and I guess I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
I think if you put everything aside, all the feelings, all the, you know, weird, I don't feel good here, put everything aside, I think the biggest tell for me is something's there when all the animals and the bugs go quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Something threatening is there, whether it's alive or not. Either way, it's scary.
Well, it's interesting because, I mean, she really could be picking up on, it doesn't have to be something that's paranormal either.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it could just be the energy of something very negative that's human as well. That could also be essentially kind of lurking around the woods. Mm-hmm. that she's picking up on. I know obviously a lot of empathic people feel that with humans.
Yeah.
With nothing ghostly to do with it. But when you're in that setting and it's unknown and you don't know, you know, who's around you or what's around you, that would probably make it even more confusing and eerie at the same time. I'm glad that it ended there for the sake of them. For the sake of our story, I was hoping maybe. And then the dark shadow came and
yeah,
ripped our tent apart, and but that would,
either way,
that'd
it's
be a
still
bit
scary.
Much. Yeah, we probably wouldn't have a story then. So, thank you for sharing that experience with us. We greatly appreciate it. 855-853-4802 is our phone number. I don't think I've ever, I have slept in a tent once in my life.
Yeah,
it was like 6 or 7. It was a little like one person. Mm-hmm. Tent or two-person tent. Mm-hmm. Just a little A-frame, very tiny, in my backyard. That's the only time I've ever camped.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. In the backyard with my dad. And then I got, like, really hot in there, and he snores really loud. And I ended up, like, getting up at, like, 5 or so and just getting out of that tent because it was hot. And it was loud.
Mm-hmm.
So I went down to the creek thinking, oh, this will be peaceful. I'll just kind of hang up by the creek. It's early in the morning. I'm normally not allowed to be out here this early. and the sound of nature, all nature was silenced, like you were saying before, when they send something because of the snoring. There was no no bugs. There was no birds chirping. It was just logs being ripped apart. Sod. There you go. So, there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your experiences with us. Let's go to this caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I absolutely love your show. I'm calling from Saskatchewan in Canada. I just want to make this quick. I know, you know, sometimes people tend to drone on. I just wanted to get your opinion as to whether you thought that perhaps, I know there's people in my family who've been said to be, you know, sensitive, it's more kind of my grandparents' generation, and I don't know if I inherited that, and I hope that's what it is, or if it's that, you know, there might be something kind of stuck to me and following me, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. The house that I grew up in, I have some really freaky experiences there. There was one time, when I was about five, I was in bed and the rest of my family was downstairs and they were watching a movie, and I was in bed and I heard a noise, and I looked up from reading my Cat in the Hat book, and I know I wasn't asleep. It was not a dream. I looked up and I saw the door handle rattling. The door was open. I could see both sides of the door handle. It was this old, big, round brass handle. The house was built in about 1903, and I perched on the edge of my bed about a foot away from the door, and it kept going, and I ran through, after pumping myself up, I ran through the door, and it just felt cold and uncomfortable. Lots of times there, I would have weird dreams when I was sitting at a fireplace, and when we remodeled the house about 10 years later, I found that there was a fireplace in the wall that we didn't know about. Sometimes my dog at the time, we had a black lab who was the sweetest thing, and he would just bark and bark and bark at empty chairs a lot of the time, which really freaked me out. I would just shoo him into the yard. Another thing that happened, though, that freaks me out a lot is when I was about 14, I was at my friend's house, and my friend's mom, my best friend, we're still best friends, it's been over 10 years later. My best friend's mom was not well. She had been battling cancer on and off a lot of her childhood, and anyway, she was not feeling well this day, and I had been over to her house before, and so she said, like, you have to be quiet, we're going to make a snack, and we'll just go hang out on the deck and listen to some music, but you can't make noise in the house, my mom is sleeping. And she hadn't been feeling well, so she would have been asleep most of that day. She was sleeping before we got there. So we were making snacks in the kitchen, and we were kind of just goofing around, and I saw a lady walk through the hallway from the living room, past the opening to the kitchen, and look at us, and walk down the hall. She didn't really look particularly happy. So I thought, oh, shit, we woke your mom up. And I told her, I was like, oh, my God, I'm so sorry. I woke up your mom, and I'd never met her mom before, so I didn't know what she looked like. And she was like, oh, my God, I'm going to be in so much trouble. Fuck, she needs to sleep. So I remember she went down the hall to check on her mom and apologize, and her mom was just asleep. Later meeting her mom, I know that wasn't her. She had the same color hair, but it definitely was not her. I don't remember what she was wearing, but I have to know my friend for 10 years now, and I've met her mom hundreds of times. It's not the woman that I saw the first time. I thought it was her. I'd like to get your opinion and let me know what you guys think. There's been more experiences on top of that, but those are the two that think that freaked me out the most, and maybe I'll call in another time and let you know some things that happened at my family farm, which a whole other realm there, but I'd love to hear this on the show, so maybe I can get some input from other listeners. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about this with you guys. And I'm going to keep listening, and I want to become an EVP really soon. Thanks from Canada.
I don't know that it's necessarily her. I think maybe with the friend's mom being sick and trying to, you know, get rest and be well and everything, it could have been something going on there in that house pertaining to her. Because, you know, we talk about sick people or people that have trouble with one aspect of their life or their health or something.
Sure.
Sometimes having things come in paranormally.
Yeah, it's almost because it's like a target, if you will, or that person becomes a target. And it can be from anything from a physical, you know, essentially a weakness when you're ill, you know, or to a mental weakness. Also could be when you're ill, you know, and it sometimes it seems that those things prey on people when they're in those situations.
You know, and two, I think sometimes the paranormal that shows up, maybe not always a bad paranormal. You know?
Sometimes it can be there to help.
Yeah.
That's true. Unfortunately, it seems more times than not, we hear more of the something dark popping up along those lines. Or sometimes a little bit of both, where it's like this one thing seems to be kind of protecting the person from the dark thing, you know, both showed up at once.
Or just watching over while they're not well.
Exactly. Thank you for the story. Appreciate that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Jill from Indiana. I was just calling to let you know about a paranormal hunt that we went on last weekend and some unusual stuff that happened. So fresh off my brain, we are investigating a location that I've been to several times. Most of the spirits that are regulars there or that we've bumped into more than once are pretty friendly. So we had some new people in our groups that were trying it out to see if this is something they wanted to do. I had a group, but I ended up passing off my group to another investigator so that I could go up to the attic. I just really wanted to hit that attic before we had to leave. And there was a group up there of about four or five people. So I went up and said, hey, I'm here. I'm just going to sit myself over in the corner and not bother you. And they were like, okay, no problem. So I noticed this group, and I didn't know several of the people in the group. They must have been the new ones. And I noticed there were two males, two females, and then another female sitting in a chair. And they were using K2 meters, which are supposed to pick up electromagnetic sensitivity, and they had some other things like REM pods and different types of meters. And there was a boy, and I say boy, he was probably about 25, sitting in a chair. And when I first came up, he had been sitting in the chair, and they were all circled up like they were doing an EVP session, trying to talk to whatever's there, all very normal. And the boy was sitting down, but, you know, listening intently. But I noticed the boy because they were all kind of pointing their equipment at him. And it was lighting up, which is okay. So I wandered around a little bit, came back by, and now I noticed that the equipment is, they've set pieces on his lap. And the pieces, let's say there are six lights on it to indicate how strong the electromagnetic is. Now it's going flickering from just a little bit and then all the way up to burying the needle, basically. And it's on his lap. So at that point, I thought I better intervene because something that strong is probably electronic. So I walk over there and I was like, hey, I'm Jill. Where's your leader? And they're like, she's over there sitting in a chair. And I said, okay. So I'm asking him, like, why are you putting all this stuff on this guy? And I'll just call him John. And they said, well, it only lights up on him. And we think it's a girl spirit because we heard a voice earlier that sounded like a little girl giggling. And then our equipment started lighting up. And I said, okay, yes, I've met a little girl up in this attic, which is a different story. And I said, but why is it on him and only him? And at that point, I noticed that his body language had changed from when I first saw him maybe 10 minutes ago. He seemed more slumped over and tired and not really participating. He was just kind of a lump of coal there. And I asked him, you know, they were telling me what kind of activity was going on, and these things were lighting up, and they were asking it to blink once for yes and twice for no, and it was doing it. And, you know, this is exciting. So they were all very excited, except for John. He wasn't saying a word. So I said to John, I said, do you feel sick? And he said, what do you mean? I said, do you feel off or odd, sick, tired, drained, cold, anything out of the ordinary that you didn't feel before you came to the attic? And he said, yeah, I'm just getting really run down. I think I'm just getting tired. I said, okay. So are you tired because it's late at night? Or do you feel like you're exhausted and all the energy's been sucked out of you? And he said, why do you ask? And then he started sounding kind of nervous. I said, well, there's a difference between the two. And if you're going to do this sort of thing, you have to self-monitor. And you monitor each other. And when one of you looks unusually exhausted or tired or in pain, then these are things that need to be noted. Maybe it's normal, maybe it's not. I said, just be careful what you say. And I kept scaring them, so I walked away. And I walked to the other side of the room and kind of stood in the shadows watching them. And the other side of the room, I mean, this is an attic of a warehouse, so maybe 40 feet away. And I'm watching them so I can see their shadowy outlines. And that's when I noticed that the one sitting down, John, for just a second, it looked like he had a backpack on. So I got a little closer, tried a different angle. And I noticed that if I looked directly at him, I don't see anything out of the ordinary. But if I turn my head and use my peripheral, it looked like, and at first I kind of almost laughed, it looked like a baby chimpanzee was clinging to his back. And it was digging its hand into his shoulders. And it was crouched, and the back legs were tiny and hunched up. And it was just sitting there. It wasn't like chewing on him or anything. But it was creepy. And I've seen things like that at other locations. I cannot tell you if it was good or bad or otherwise. It was just, hey, you've got a dark, shadowy monkey on your back. But since they were new, I didn't want to say that. If somebody said that to me, I would take evasive action, but I'm doing this a long time. So I walked back over and intervened again. And when it came down to it, I said, would it be okay if I touch you and I put my hand on your back? And the boy, John, said, yeah. And I said, okay, I'm going to try an experiment. He said, you guys keep watching your equipment. I'm going to shut my eyes for a second and please say out loud if anything changes. So I laid my hand between his shoulder blades and tried to extend my personal shield to encase him and say a prayer in my head. And when I started saying the prayer in my head and I'm focusing on shielding and protecting, three of the people that were watching all said, wait, my stuff stopped. All the lights stopped. Everything turned off. And I said, okay, good, and I kept the prayer up, and then I finished, and I said, is everything still off? And they said, yes, so I opened my eyes, and I said, how are you feeling? And he said, I'm not as cold, but you know, who knows, maybe it's just because I have my hands on him. So I backed away from him about 2-3 steps, and all the equipment lighted up again that they've set on his lap. And it was going middle lights, so some sort of activity we checked for other things. I'm not going to bore you with that. That could have been influencing the equipment. Couldn't find anything else. So I said, do me a favor. Take that meter that's it's lighting up to 3 out of 5. I said, slide it up his front. Check him all over. And they did. And it didn't go past 3. I said, put it over his shoulder on his back where I was touching him. And when they did that, it buried the needle to red. And now they were getting worried because I was obviously knowing something they weren't knowing, and they were getting upset and worried and saying, what's going on? What is this? And I said, I don't know. And they went, what do you mean you don't know? You know obviously something is there. I said, yeah, something is there. What it is, what its intention is, I don't know. So then I started trying to, we don't antagonize, but I backed away from them and I did start antagonizing. I started saying things that I thought would be upsetting to any entity that was a non-human. And usually these things work. It'll draw the attention to me very quickly. I will take a hit from that. I will be sick and tired and have a headache and all of the above. But I figured if I could draw it to me, at least this new kid would be able to go home alone. But it wasn't falling for it. It would not leave him. So I went back to praying, untouching him. I tried to explain to him how to do the same thing. And I told him to imagine a force field around him like from the movie Star Wars. Only make it an egg that totally encompasses your whole body, even your feet and your head. And he said, okay. I said, just picture it in your mind and hold on to that picture. And he did, and he shut his eyes, and I backed away from him, and all the meters and all the lights stayed off. And I said, excellent. Now I'm going to stay behind. You all go downstairs while he holds this. And I told John, don't let go of the egg. And they left, and they were... I went down maybe a minute after them, just trying to make sure whatever it was, if it was angry, it would lash out at me and not them. So anyway, I got a call 2 days later from our director saying, hey, what happened? This group called, and they said that you were really scary, and you freaked them out, and they were not happy about it. Boy, was I mad. And I'm still mad. It's like, okay, hold on a second. You thought you wanted to see what boxing was like, and you put on the boxing gloves, and you climbed into the ring, and when somebody hit you in the face, I pulled you out of that ring, and I took those hits for you, and you're mad at me. Hey, if you don't want to get boxed in the face, don't climb in the ring.
There you go.
That's a good way to end it.
It's a good parable of, not a parable, it's a true story, but it's more of a story of exactly that, going ghost hunting and what can possibly occur.
Yeah.
And what to expect when you're out there. And if you're going to go with someone experienced, which you should if you're going to do it, here's your gamut of possibilities.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for sharing that experience with us. We do greatly appreciate the stories of being out there in the world of ghost hunting. 855-853-4802, the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share those experiences with us. Hi.
Hey, guys. I just got done listening to one of your podcasts on YouTube. And I've called before. Last time I called, I talked about my banshee experience when I was a teenager living in Maryland. I've lived in a few different places around the country and around the world. And like I mentioned in that story, I did go to Ireland. And I was going to tie this into Irish story. I had a few experiences in Ireland. Ireland, obviously, is a very old country. The sense of that they don't really tear down their structures. And they think their stay, buildings and such, they stay there for generations. I mean, for hundreds of years, 500 years, you know, 1,000 years, there's stuff that's still standing, castles, old factories, houses. Ireland used to be covered in trees for the most part until pretty much the British Empire, you know, took over Ireland's before the British Empire and cut a lot of trees down, even for ships, yada, yada, yada. But when I was there in 1999, 2000, I mean, it's a while ago, so it shows how old I am. I was visiting a farm, and I was going to work on the farm and stay on the farm for a little while, and I was kind of traveling around. And I was there in the springtime of 99. It was on the coast, the southwest, and it was an island off the mainland. It was separated by about like a four-foot stream and waterfalls, and a really pretty little place. And it was, the people had kept it pretty much the way it was, as most people in Ireland do, as far as there's lots of old buildings still on the property. And my first day there, they said, go have a look around and just, just check the place out and come back and see what you think. So I wasn't too tired. I was really excited after a long bus ride to kind of get experience of Ireland and this place that I was at, this farm. I mean, it's, you can look it up online if you want to. It's not really a well-known place, but it actually, it's funny because another thing about Ireland, too, is you mail something to someone, usually there's really not a zip code. It's just like the person's name and like their place and that's, and then the county they're in, that's pretty much it. So, his place, their place, it was still covered in trees, you know, it was like the old Ireland. And, they had a couple old buildings on there and, you know, stone walls with vines growing through them. There's no more windows, no more wood anywhere, just the stone walls were left. And I remember as I walked by there, I smelled this really strong smell. Got this really strong smell of perfume. I had this really kind of sixth sense. You know, being a sensitive person, especially as a teenager and during that time, I really started kind of picked up like there was someone there or something was there. And it's kind of like a feminine presence. It's this really strong smell of perfume came across. Not in that area, so you're like thinking, what in the world? There's no flowers anywhere. I mean, there's green everywhere, but not any flowers. But it smelled like perfume, like something you buy from a shop. So, you know, I kind of, interesting. Just kept looking around and checked out a few other places. And I walked over the hill down to where the river is. There's salmon that are spawning, and they're trying, you know, jump up the waterfall. There's this gigantic waterfall in the sense of about 15, 20 foot. Just a lot of water coming down. And it was a dark, dark pool. I mean, it was this black pool. And they're right on the ocean. So it was mixing with the ocean water. It just had this really dark, black, kind of, you know, just depressed kind of feel to it. And I remember looking into it, and it's telling me, like, please, you know, jump in. And if I felt like if I jumped in, I wouldn't be able to get out. Like, I'd be sucked into that thing. So, again, another weird kind of, you know, weird kind of feeling slash impression. And as I got back to the main house there, you know, on the property, they had probably about 20 acres. It was all kind of rambling around with, you know, a little bit of hills. And, you know, a few old buildings, too. There was an old mill there, too. I didn't get a chance to see it on that day. But as I got back to the house and I told them my experiences, they kind of chuckled. And they said, oh, yeah, there's a female banshee that everyone sees, that people have seen over by that first abandoned house, the stone building. And that was a hospital not too long ago. Before that was an orphanage. Before that, it was like a shoe factory. So a lot of history in that one little place. And they say, yeah, a lot of people say they smell perfume, and they see a woman wearing a red dress or a green dress with flowing black hair. And given my experiences before, like I mentioned before, about the banshee that I saw in my room, you know, it seems like the ghost that I had seen in my life, there was one other time I did actually see one. It was, again, another female. It was a different time, a whole different story. Seemed to be what my experiences are. So, you know, I kind of was, my hair was sticking up on my arms. I got kind of quiet. And then I told him about the experience with the pool below the waterfall. And they said, oh, just last week, there's a lady whose husband had died. And she was really depressed, and every day she'd go to that waterfall and stare into it for hours. And finally, she jumped in and committed suicide, and I found her. This just happened like a week before I got there. I'm thinking, good grief. I mean, it's just like, you know, what else could go, you know, coincidental with that, with those experiences? So, being in Ireland in 1999, it was pre-Irish, like the industrial modern-day revolution, as far as they had the Celtic Tiger come through, and they had all these jobs, and everyone had a cell phone and all that stuff. This is right before that started, and this is when I was there, no one had a TV, no one had cell phones, no one locked their doors. So we'd stay up sometimes at night. They had a couple of kids about my age, a little bit younger than me. They had a pretty big family. We'd stay up and tell stories and talk about stuff. And there was a couple people there as well from different countries that showed up as I was there for several weeks. And I remember sometimes we stay up till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, telling stories or talking or whatever, playing games. And I remember I had to walk at night by that abandoned hospital, or whatever you want to call it, because I was staying in a little like makeshift kind of like visitors' quarters. It's just kind of a little bed and a little like gigantic dollhouse, really, and it's a little wooden shack. And it's by the waterfall too. It's kind of like between the two of them. And I had a flashlight with me, and I remember sometimes just running to that my spot. I just all of a sudden my hair and my arms would stand up, and I'm thinking there's someone either right here watching me or with me or behind me. I never looked back, but I'd book it. I'd run as fast as I could sometimes to where I was sleeping because I get so spooked out. I mean, Ireland itself just had so resonated with so much of that kind of paranormal stuff. I mean, I could go on for hours. No, obviously I won't. But I have a few more stories from Ireland. Maybe I'll call again. And I do have one more from Maryland. And again, this is Andy. In Ireland, they call me Andy Man. And thanks for having me on. And I hope you guys have a good night. Bye.
I'll agree. I think over the years, some of our creepier stories have come out of Ireland.
I think so, too. I was wondering, do you just go by people saying it's a banshee, or do you have to hear it scream to know it's a banshee?
To identify it?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if that's just like another, you know, a term that's it's interused in some parts of the world for ghosts, mm-hmm. you know, where it's just kind of overused almost and kind of lops everything into one big ball of ghosts.
And that's what I was wondering.
Or if and in some other areas, it's more of a defining characteristic of a specific type. Mm-hmm. It's a good question. Maybe he can answer that for us. Thanks for calling in and sharing your experience with us here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And that wraps up the program for today. If you like the show, help keep us on the air. Become an EPP, extra podcast person. Get all of the bonus episodes of the show, all of them up there for you at ghostpodcast.com. It's only $5 a month. You can sign up for a full year, get a month free, and a bunk bed bell. Check it out at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.